Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness, and it pertains to you. It's not just about my sex and happiness, although in the years that I've been broadcasting, I have to say that my sex and my happiness has gotten sexier, juicier, happier, all of that, because I learn from the questions that I ask my guests, and hopefully you're doing that right alongside me. And today, this is not the first time I've had this topic, but it's been a very long time since I've had the topic that's specifically geared towards men. A lot of times my topics seem like they're geared towards women because it seems like women, I don't know, usually have more sex hang-ups, the way they were brought up, the decade, the area of the world they were brought up. So we focus a lot on women opening up, but of course we talk about their partners if they're in heterosexual relationships. We talk about those men, but a show based on men's sexual health, it's rare that we have that. We've had a few. And this program today is going to be geared primarily to men's sexual health. So first I want to talk about my guest. His name is Dr. Dudley Danoff, and he is president and founder of the Cedars-Sinai Tower Urology Medical Group in Los Angeles. He's a diplomat of the American Board of Urology and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons. For more than 25 years, he taught on the clinical faculty of the UCLA School of Medicine, and he has written a brand new book called The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health, and it's a cool book. It's about how to stay vital at any age, and you all, my listeners, know that I'm going to be sticking around for a very, very long time. I've talked about it many times, so you know that I'm into this book. So I want to welcome to the show Dr. Dudley Danoff. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Lori.
It's my pleasure, especially because you're talking about how to stay vital at any age. So, I mean, that's my major talk, like the talk that I give, and I'm going to be actually giving to physicians very soon in Las Vegas, is about having sexual ecstasy at any age. So you and I are kindred spirits.
Absolutely.
So let's delve right into it. First of all, how did you, obviously you're a clinical urologist, you're a teaching faculty, you're a president and founder of a medical group in LA. Why did you decide to write this book? What motivated you?
Well, I am a mainstream urologic surgeon, and I've spent the whole of my professional life treating prostate cancer, kidney cancer, bladder cancer. And about maybe 15 years ago, a patient said, why don't you write a book? You're, a good speaker. You're a jolly fellow. You've got some good ideas. You're outspoken. And I said, well, what would I write a book about? And he pulled the 3x5 card out of his pocket, and the words penis power were on it. Now, this is about, 15 years ago, the early days of internet, no real Howard Stern. And I said, wow, what a great title. So I began to work on it, a lot of the same shtick that's in this book. And I presented it to Warner Books, and they gave me a huge amount of money. I thought it was a huge amount of money for a book. And when I went to New York and when they were going to publish the book, they said, we can't put the word penis on the cover of a book. I said, what are you talking about? Penis is not a pejorative word. It's a body part.
Right.
The penis is to the urologist what the stomach is to the gastroenterologist. And Warner changed the name of the book to Super Potency. So that's the way it came out, and it was translated into a number of languages. And a number of years later, my son approached me and said, you've got this penis personality cartoons. and they're very funny, and my friends and I were having a beer and laughing about it. You know, you should recreate the book. And so then I recreated a book, and I called it Penis Power, The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health. And that came out about 5 or 6 years ago. Mm. Very popular book. A lot of the same material in the present book. Still, the word penis was on the cover. Now we're, you know, 2011, 2012. I did hundreds of radio interviews, television, and it was still a pushback about the word penis on the cover of the book. I mean, I was astounded. And it was, I felt my role was to get the penis out of the closet, so to speak.
I love you. You're so fun.
Some publishers wanted to do the book. They said, can you make it 100 pages shorter? So we re-edited, added some new medical stuff, and changed the cover, took the word penis off the cover, and put the mustache. So that's the way the book came about.
Well, it's great. What a great story. It's so crazy. We are so repressed.
Yeah, we are.
It's so crazy.
Somebody sent me about a month ago a German translation of the book in a hardcover. Beautiful, beautiful book in German. And on the cover is essentially a nude guy, ripped, I mean completely ripped and completely naked, and he's got his hand in front of his genitals, and the area is kind of dark in shadow, and when you first look at it, it looks like his penis is exposed right on the cover of the book.
Right.
And then you look closely at it, and you realize it's his index finger. I mean, and I often point out when I lecture, you know, to lay groups, look, here's what they're putting on a cover of a book in Germany, a perfectly civilized country, and we can't put the word penis on the cover of a book. I mean,
yeah.
It's astounding.
It's astounding. I totally understand. I mean, believe me, because my show is Sex and Happiness, and my book is Sex and Happiness, and I get pushback from Facebook. Yeah. And all these social media. So I understand if you have the word penis, it's, you know.
Yeah, and it's not a pejorative word. And,
yeah.
And I want to say again and again and again, sex is happiness. I mean,
What can you
do more that will bring you a bigger smile on your face, more joy in your heart? Good for your cardiovascular system, good for your mental health, upper body strength, lower body strength. It's the perfect exercise.
Exactly, exactly. And produces endorphins, it produces serotonin, it produces oxytocin, it produces all these things that make us happy.
Yeah, absolutely. All the drugs we should be taking illicitly.
It's great, Dudley. It's so great to hear you. Well, let's delve right into some of the usual questions that you're asked, because I mean, it's rare that I get an expert like you on the show who knows some of this stuff. So from the medical, point of view. So there are some questions that, you know, I know my audiences want to find out about. Let's just dive into it. Isn't it true that most women want a man with a really large penis? What do you got to say about that?
Well, I don't think that's true. You know, I've seen, Lori, more penises that can fill the Rose Bowl. And I've seen a lot of women attached to those penises. And in all my years of practice, I never had a woman come and say to me, Dr. Danoff, could you make my man's penis longer, fatter, wider? What I have had them ask me is, can you make it a little firmer and attach it to a sweeter, nicer guy? Preferably with a Platinum American Express card. So, you know, all the action is up front. And, I mean, just like some men like women with large breasts, and some like women with small breasts, and some like women. So, I mean, there are a few women that are obsessed with size, but in my experience, all the action is at the tip of the penis, all the sensitivity is in the glands. The majority of sensitivity, as best I understand it, in a woman is, you know, at the clitoris right up front.
Right.
I'm still searching for the, elusive G-spot.
Oh, you should come to my class.
I haven't found it yet.
I can tell you exactly how to find it and exactly how to stimulate it, and you'll get some surprises.
There you go. You're going to teach me some. But
well,
anyway,
we should team up.
Yeah. So that's sort of my take on penis size. And, you know, it's not women that have penis envy. Women have penis curiosity. Men have penis envy. Is mine bigger, right, you know, than the next guy's? And, you know, I warn any male listener, you know, you are born genetically with a certain size penis. You can't make it larger. It's not like a breast. And anybody that even thinks of phalloplasty, that is the surgical procedures of which there are many to try to enlarge a penis, it's devastatingly destructive. Don't even consider it.
Thank you. So everyone listening, you are forewarned.
I say you want to make your penis larger, you go to, you know, Rite Aid drugs, you buy that little magnifying glass, you unzip your fly, you look down, voila, I call it the IPE, Instant Penis Enlarger.
You are funny. Well, thanks for all of that. That's great to know because people get crazy.
Yeah,
they really get crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So what should men really know about their penises? Like what are some factoids that men should really know in terms of sexual function?
Well, sexual function and good health, good sex and good health go hand in hand.
Like, I'm of that age where a lot of men's penises don't work anymore.
Yeah, so we have, of course, those magic blue pills, the 5-PE inhibitors, you know, Viagra, Cialis, Levitra. I love the one about Cialis. You know, if your erection lasts longer than 4 hours, call your doctor. If that happened to me, I'd call everybody I know.
You just line them up?
So those, you know, for the older fellow that may have arterial insufficiency or what we call a venous leak. I mean, in order to get, you know, an erection firm enough to penetrate, you got to have arterial blood flow into the penis, and then you have to have a block in the venous outflow, like sort of like moving a ship along the Panama Canal up the locks. So a lot of older men have a venous leak or some arterial insufficiency, and those drugs, which are perfectly safe, unless you have coronary artery disease and are taking nitroglycerin, have just been miracle drugs as for the older men. It's a billion-dollar industry.
Yes.
Cialis in doses of 5 milligrams daily has been approved by the FDA for benign enlargement of the prostate, so lots of insurances cover it. And, you know, you're ready to go. So that's a great enhancement. The other thing...
And shouldn't men stay away from high blood pressure medication?
Well,
to me, when anyone tells me they have high blood pressure, I say to them, you can handle this with diet. Like, don't take those drugs because your penis isn't going to work.
Well, there are a lot of drugs which treat hypertension by dilating the blood vessels, so mm-hmm. it decreases blood flow. But I want to warn you listeners, and I say this to all my patients, you know, there may be herbal medicines out there, there may be diet that can help you, but there are many, many people with essential hypertension, and you certainly don't want to get a stroke for the sake of getting a hard penis. So, you know, listen to your doctors. If you're on a hypertension medicine that's giving you erectile dysfunction, maybe your doctor can switch you to a different class of drugs. There are many drug classes that affect blood pressure, and not all of them, impact negatively on the penis. So please, you know, control your blood pressure, and don't sacrifice no control of your blood pressure for a hard penis with the possibility that you'll end up getting a stroke.
Great. Thank you. That's great advice. On that note, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the possibility of too much sex, like what that means, if there is even if it is such a thing. I don't think there is such a thing. But anyway, that's my opinion, but I want to hear from you. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm talking with Dr. Dudley Danoff, and he has written the book, The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health, How to Stay Vital at Any Age. And you want to hear these facts. You want to hear his advice. You really, I'm sitting at the edge of my chair. I hope you are. We'll be right back. Sexual.
My question for people right now
is if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
You know, I'm wondering if you've reached a point in your life where happiness seems a little further from reach than maybe it was a year ago. Does your sex life feel a little stale or hollow, like something is missing? Or maybe living seems like a constant source of frustration rather than moments of bliss? Each year, Butterfly Workshops brings together people just like you who are ready for a change. Our courses are structured to be lighthearted, full of laughter and humor, and also touch you in a way that involves real change. Inside our workshops, we take a look at Tantra, an ancient philosophy developed thousands of years ago. In all of the courses, we use simple yet effective techniques from Tantra to rid the body of anxiety, boost our sex life, and bring happiness and fullness into our lives. Our next Butterfly Workshops introductory course, Bliss, will take place in Phoenix, Arizona on April 30th. And I'm hoping that you choose to join us. For more information, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com. When I get that feeling, I want
sexual healing. We are back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm excited today because we're talking about male sexual health, and we're using the P word. We're talking about penises, we're talking about size, we're talking about function, and it's exciting. It's very exciting to be talking to Dr. Dudley Danoff today, for me anyway. I hope you're as excited as I am. So, Dudley, let's get right into it again. Like, is there such a thing as too much sex?
Well, I would say that is the ultimate oxymoron. No, there's not. And, you know, the Lord didn't give us a specific number of orgasms. I mean, the more the better. I mean, the penis is probably the most durable body part in a man. You could twist it. You can bang on it. You can, if you ever did that to your little pinky finger, you would end up at the orthopedist with your finger in a cast. So except for the skin, I mean, it's a pretty durable organ. And unlike, you know, your chin and your jowls and your neck, if you take a look at the erect penis of a 70-year-old man and you compare it to the erect penis of a 20-year-old man, they look the same. It's ageless.
Do you know that that's, I say that all the time, that the clitoris doesn't age.
Yeah, it's true.
So the penis doesn't age either, but the balls do. But,
Like the droopy sack.
Yeah. Oh, I love talking to you. Well, so you're saying that too much sex cannot be unhealthy.
No, as a matter of fact, it's a great cardiovascular exercise. It's great upper body strength, lower body strength. Gets all the cobwebs out of your brain. It's almost the perfect form of exercise for me. I mean, and for most men. And you can have, you know, you can have sex. I have guys in their 90s that are having sex. Now, it may take them all night long to do what they used to do all night long, but, you know, it can be just as satisfying.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I'm a tantra master, so I know that slow sex and long sex and even penetration that's somewhat soft could be and is often just as satisfying to a woman and a man. And I teach people that there's nothing lost, that they just have to change the whole way they're thinking about it. And we've been sold a bill of goods. So I couldn't agree with you more. I totally agree.
We have to do what's age appropriate. And when you say sold a bill of goods, you know, the pharmaceutical companies, I mean, other than the Viagra, the Levitra, and the Cialis, which has been a godsend, they really should be chided for promoting, you know, testosterone replacement therapy, TRT. So they, you know, they promote it by saying, are you a grumpy old man? Do you have a paunch? Are you short-tempered? Do you have a low libido? Well, you're talking about, you know, every older guy. So, well, then you need, you know, androgel and testosterone replacement therapy. And that's a no-no unless you have a deficient level of circulating testosterone.
Right.
So the drug companies are promoting this to the general public, and I have a lot of patients coming in with dangerously high testosterone levels because they're taking supplement testosterone because they're listening to these ads, and they get themselves into trouble.
Wow. Thanks for saying that. I haven't heard anything. I mean, I take a testosterone HRT.
How do you take it?
In a cream.
Oh, yeah. Because if you take it by mouth, anything in testosterone taken by mouth is toxic to the liver and not absorbed. So you either have to take it by injection or some transdermal, a cream, a lotion, a spray, a patch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure as a woman, and it's highly recommended because, look, the clitoris is a little penis without a hole in it. It's got all the anatomic features of a penis.
Right.
So a little testosterone for women's sexuality is definitely recommended.
Yeah, well, it's made a difference, I can tell you that. But but today is not about me, so we're going back to you.
Okay.
So let's talk about prostate cancer because, or you know, prostate inflammation even, like the step before one would find out a diagnosis of prostate cancer. There's a lot of men who feel like when they now I know some who are not. I know some who have not stopped. Nothing has stopped about them, and they've had their prostates removed. So let's talk about the prostate.
So, I mean, prostate sort of comes in a kind of two subjects. One is the benign growth of the prostate, and then there's prostatic malignancy. So the less interesting one is BPH, which is the benign prostatic hyperplasia. It's a normal process of aging. The urinary bladder is like a balloon upside down, and the prostate's like a donut or a collar around the neck of the balloon. And as a man gets older, the donut gets bigger and the hole in the donut gets smaller. Thin and narrow urinary stream, incomplete bladder emptying, getting up at night. And there's good medical treatment for that, and that usually doesn't impact on a male's sexuality. And then we have the big C, prostate cancer. Well, we've had revolutionary progress in our treatment of prostate cancer. Many older men who have it have what we call a focal prostate cancer. These are non-aggressive tumors. They don't require any treatment, watchful waiting. You know, a man will die of it and not, you know, will die with it, but not of it. And then, of course, you have the more aggressive kind, and those are treated primarily utilizing the Da Vinci robotic system. So we're doing a robotic prostatectomy with a robot.
And really?
We remove the prostate, we preserve the nerves of potency, and we preserve the mechanism of continence, and we do it as an outpatient procedure.
No kidding.
Yeah, so a man can get an erection, he can have an orgasm, little if any fluid comes out, he can have perfect continence and be cured of his cancer. So this is totally revolutionary, in my years of practice, totally revolutionary.
That is phenomenal. I'm so thrilled to hear that. Like, I want to be a proponent of talking about that. I'm going to take that and I'm going to add that into my ageless sex, you know, sexual ecstasy at any age talk, because I didn't know that, and I'm thanking you so much for telling me that.
And you know, the interesting part of that, Lori, is that, you know, a woman would never miss her annual pap smear or her mammogram.
Mm-hmm.
Man, after the age of 40, should have a digital rectal exam and a PSA and a prostate ultrasound for prostate cancer screening. And yet, every man is macho. They don't come in voluntarily. They're not very meticulous about it. They can wait till they're 50 or 60 or until their wife or their girlfriend or the significant other pushes them here to get that examination.
Mm-hmm.
Prostate cancer screening saves lives.
Of course.
So the majority of prostate cancers don't need any treatment, but there are those that, if not treated aggressively, will kill you. And mm-hmm. the treatment is terrific. And a man should not be frightened, you know, that he's going to lose his potency or going to lose his libido or lose his manhood. It's just not true.
Mm. Thank you for saying. You know, now in the field of Tantra, we do something called sacred spot stimulation on men, which is to stimulate the prostate with massage. And so I don't know if you know anything about that, do you?
Well, I have certainly heard about it, but I would hardly hold myself out as an expert. as a urologist, we do examine the prostate.
Uh-huh.
I have to caution your listeners and anybody. So I have heard partners. So what they do is when a man is about to ejaculate, they insert a gloved finger, we hope, into the rectum, and they push on the prostate kind of to retard ejaculation. And that can cause what we call retrograde or backward ejaculation. And that can be pretty devastating. It can cause epididymitis, which is a severe infection of the tail of the testicle. You want to stimulate it, you want to massage it, you want to rub it, but be careful of putting any pressure, at the time of a man's orgasm. That's a bad thing.
Thank you. I needed to hear that too. That's awesome. All right. Let's move to something else. You have some expertise in something like how you know if you're really satisfying your partner. doesn't your partner tell you? Well, partners, yeah. They lie, too. Yeah, they fake orgasms.
You can't always believe what your partner tells you. So I always say, well, it's we call it Jewish foreplay, which is, 20 minutes of begging. So, I think, with regard to that communication is the key. You got to tell your partner what you want. She's got to he whatever your partner is. And believe me, the same rules that I talk about in heterosexual relationships hold true for homosexual relationships. And the book is, we don't differentiate. It's the same passion of the heart. The same mechanism works. So we try to be sort of gender neutral in the book. And I think that applies. So communication is the key. Tell me what you want. I'm going to tell you what I want. I'm going to give a little. You're going to give a little. It's not about me. It's about you. Kind of the Japanese way. A lot of bowing and scraping. You know, last man who bows wins. So I believe, you know, I believe that that's the way it is. And I think it will pay big dividends. If you are selfless, I think that will pay big dividends. It's satisfaction.
One of the things I'm going to give you, you gave me a lot already today, so I'm going to give you something.
Sure.
That you can use. One of the things that we do in the teachings that I work with is when we're getting into an intimate encounter with our partner, we do a little bubble. Like we make a bubble with our arms around each other and we say, what are your desires? What are your fears? What are your boundaries?
I love it.
And each time it's fresh. So no matter how many times you've had a sexual encounter with this person, you could be married to them for like, you know, 45 years. If you do this simple technique, what are your desires for this session together? What are your fears? And what are your boundaries? Like, you know, health-wise, or it could be menstrually, you know, for a woman. It could be the man hasn't had a lot of sleep. Or I mean, a lot of things could go into the spectrum. And is there anything you want to take out of our bubble? Like your concerns for the day, things that your billing cycle didn't go right.
Yeah, right.
You got into a fender bender. Could we take that out so that we could actually have a beautiful, non-clouded,
non-confrontational.
Yeah, and not confrontational. And that, and so I'm giving you that because I feel like you are somebody who speaks to a lot of people and you speak to a lot of men. I personally feel when a man approaches me with that, with something that I'm going to feel safe about, I'm much more available to him. I'm much more open to want to really state my desires and be as honest and as frank as I can be.
I love that. I love that idea of the bubble. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, so I'm giving that to you as a gift because I want you to give it out.
all gifts accepted.
I want you to spread the knowledge on that. We're going to take another break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, which is very, very controversial. Has to do with circumcision. And I'm just going to leave it at that. These days, people get in huge arguments about it. So I want to hear your thoughts on it. We are at Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm interviewing Dr. Dudley Danoff, amazing, good-humored urologist person who wrote The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health, How to Stay Vital at Any Age, and I'm loving it. Please stay tuned. I'm inviting you to open to the path of true love, power, and freedom. Did you ever stop to think that love is your birthright? That you don't need to earn it or prove it? You just need to live it. If you're ready to radically enliven your sexuality and dive deep into the heart of your wild, erotic nature, then I'm inviting you to join us for the spiritual sexual shamanic experience. There are two that you can choose from that are coming up. One is in Montreal, May 22nd to the 29th. And I'll be co-facilitating that with Crystal Dawn Morris and Frank Mondose. The other one is in Western Ireland, near the Cliffs of Moher. And that's June 6th to the 12th. And I'll be co-facilitating that with Elaine Young and Rex McCann. Either way, I would love for you to consider this week-long, amazing, spiritual, sexual, shamanic experience. You can find out more about them at sexualrenaissance.com, that's the one from Montreal, or on Facebook, go to ISTA, I-S-T-A, Ireland, and there's where you can find out more about the one in Ireland. Please consider this seriously because love is your birthright.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. And there's so much more. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy, and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. These are all topics that can be covered. When?
October 15th to the 22nd, 2016.
Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica.
When I get that feeling, I want sexual healing.
This is Sex and Happiness. I'm Lori Handlers, your host. And I'm having a great time today with Dudley Danoff. He is an amazing, well-humored doctor who is president and founder of Cedars-Sinai Tower Urology Medical Group in L.A. He's got all kinds of initials and experience under his belt, as well as teaching faculty. And he's really talking to us frankly about man's sexual health, about factors of the penis, factors of the prostate, all kinds of things, what happens to men as they age. And this is an important show. So even if only you're listening today and your partner or your friends are not listening, please share this show with them. Please share this download with them, because there's a lot of men who need to hear, and women who need to hear, what Dudley Danoff is saying to me. So I left off with talking about circumcision. Now, I am also of the Jewish faith, and I know that if I had had a son, it would be expected that he would be circumcised, but I'm not so sure I would have done that. I'm just saying that real honestly to you. What's your take on it? There's been arguments. I've had arguments in my house. I've had arguments over dinner with people. What's your take on circumcision? Why do we have to have it, or why don't we have to have it?
You know, look, that's a great question. I'm also of the Jewish faith, and my son, who recently had a child, he's a kind of a hippie, a highly educated hippie guy, and I asked him if he was going to have a circumcision, and he was undecided. At the end of the day, he had a girl, so it never came to pass.
Yay.
So let me tell you a little bit about circumcision. First of all, for years and years and years in my practice, I took a neutral position about circumcision, a matter of faith, a matter of belief, religion, prejudice, whatever. And I took a neutral position, even though in my heart of hearts, I felt that perhaps a circumcision was better than not being circumcised, just because penile cancer, which is, you know, a relatively rare disease, does just not occur in circumcised men.
But I've heard that. My last guest, who was on the show talking about men's health, said that very fact.
Yeah. Now, but here's what sort of changed my mind in a very big way. There have been a lot of studies in the last several years on the transmission of HIV/AIDS, particularly in Africa. And the evidence is incontrovertible that circumcised males have a far lower incidence of HIV/AIDS, and their partners have far lower incidence of HIV/AIDS. So that alone has tilted my prejudice towards suggesting that it is probably better to be circumcised than not circumcised. Now, there are some men that have what we call a non-retractable foreskin, in which they can't retract the foreskin, you know, to cleanse and clean.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's mandatory that those men be circumcised, because that is definitely a no-no. The third thing I would like to point out to you, Lori, that in most men, when you look at the erect penis, you can't tell if it's circumcised or not circumcised. It's like a sort of a turtleneck, you know, turtleneck shirt. And when the neck, you know, the head of the turtle comes down, you know, the turtleneck folds back. So, you know, do children have pain? Does it leave a mark? I mean, I was circumcised, you know, I don't remember anything. I see the way the moil does it. That is the rabbi who is trained to do circumcisions, which have been done for 5,000 years. I mean, the babies don't look too distressed to my eye, and I've, you know, been to 1,000 ritual circumcisions in my professional career. Everybody that knows me, can you come and make sure he doesn't take too much off, you know? So that's kind of my take on it as of, you know, 2016. But I certainly appreciate the emotional issues about it. I believe, you know, some religious practices, yes, no, in between. But I think the scientific evidence now really, really favors doing a circumcision.
Got it. Thank you so much for saying that. I've seen some real botched jobs.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, there's no question about it.
And, you know, I felt like, oh, my God. How,
you know,
could
even in non-religious people, patients of mine, grandchildren, you know, they say, you know, we're going to have a circumcision, Dr. Danoff, you know, will you do it? I said, you know, I prefer not to do it. I know how to do it. I said, I believe that even though you're not a religious person, you should get, a rabbi, a moil, you know, that uses a technique that's 5,000 years old. Mm-hmm. I've never, ever seen a botched circumcision, you know, from, a professional moil,
yeah,
who does it. You know, a resident who, you know, has delivered 3 babies in his life and is doing a circumcision in the neonatal unit with some clamp he doesn't know how to use. Yeah, that is potentially disastrous.
Right, right. Well, thanks for that.
Yeah.
Let's move to things like sleep, exercise, and diet. How do these affect a man's sexual health?
All three are intimately related to a male sexual health. You know, most of us in this fast-paced world are sleep-deprived, so you've got to get between, you know, 8 to 10 hours of sleep, good sleep every night, to be fresh, to be vigorous, to be alert, to not, you know, doze off in front of the television set, forget that your partner is nearby. Exercise, I mean, to have good sex, it takes a lot of vigor. It takes cardiovascular fitness. It takes upper body strength, lower body strength. So physical fitness definitely goes with good sex. Skinny is better than fat when it comes to sex, no doubt about it. And as far as diet is concerned, I mean, those three are intimately related. High protein, low fat, low carb, no processed foods, cholesterol control, moderate alcohol, smoking. If you're going to smoke, you know, make sure it's once a week. Nicotine is a penis killer. So that's my take on that.
That's great. There was something you said. I think it was about diet. Oh, I can't.
Skinny is better than fat.
Oh, yeah, skinny is better than fat. Yeah, well, I say to people, you know, you should do some yoga, too. Like,
yeah, yoga is great.
Even if you work out at the gym, having flexibility is also helps you stay in the flow. So yoga is good. Yogis are better lovers, I think.
Yeah, I think I think you're right. No, I think flexibility is very important. I mean, if you can't roll over a stretch or, you know, make, as we say, an inventive move, I think you're limited.
The other thing was about was also about diet. Like, I've never understood why people want to go out to dinner and then have sex. That's crazy. I always think they should have sex and then go out to dinner.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Sex on an empty stomach is much better than sex on a full stomach.
Oh, listen, I agree with that. There's no because the blood settles in your girth and not where you want it to.
Yes.
And then you feel loggy, and if you've had a glass or two of wine, it definitely takes from the performance. There's no question about it. It might addeth to the desire, as Shakespeare said, but it taketh from the performance.
So if you know, we've covered a lot of turf, and I knew we would. You know, I really did know we would. I knew, you know, when you and I just talked before the show. So there's a couple more things that we could look at. One is, I think we agree that you need to make regular sex a part of any health plan. Like, sex is healthy. Sex makes you happy. You said it earlier. I have this show because I don't believe anybody who tells me that they're happy and they're not having sex. I think they're like full of it.
They might be not having sex with their partner, but they might be having sex with somebody else. So that's
well, to me, self-sex is just as important as partner sex.
Absolutely. I could tell you that the penis doesn't know who's stroking it.
That's good, because there's a lot of men who are very phobic about that.
No, I know. I understand that.
It doesn't care. It doesn't care.
No, it doesn't.
Why do people think that the penis has a mind of its own? That's always a good one. Like, people talk about that a lot. Like, an erect penis doesn't care.
Well, it doesn't. You know, it's there's something about the blood rushing from a man's big head to his little one.
Mm-hmm.
Men are very, very penocentric. And when that thing is hard, there's some inner urge. I can't explain it, but I've certainly experienced it. You know, if you want something from your man, you know, ask him when he's hard, not when he's soft.
You know? That's a great tip.
It works every time, and I think every smart woman knows that. And if she doesn't, she should. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So in closing, because we're kind of close to our winding down.
Sure.
If people are in, let's say, a monogamous relationship, they've been in monogamy for a really long time, do you have any expertise advice that has to do with kicking the habit or spicing things? I mean, I used to help people spice things up all the time in their sex life. That's why I have a job, actually. and I'm thrilled about it. I'm happy that some people are having some discord in their lives, because that's what keeps me employed. I help people spice up everything. What would you say to people, you know, from your perspective, that would get them happier and sexier and juicier?
Well, there's a little experiment I talk about in a book about the male and the female mouse. And they go at it until the male mouse is exhausted, and they take that same female mouse out and they paint her a different mouse color and spray with a little new mouse perfume. And she comes, they put her back in a cage, and the male leaps up like from square one. So it says something about mouse behavior, but it also says something about human behavior. You got to keep it different. You got to make it fresh. You got to make it exciting. You got to go to Hawaii once in a while and watch the palm trees. You have to have a little romance. You have to care. Flowers, perfume, try something different. You know,
Frank Sinatra, dance slow.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got to keep it fresh. You got to keep it new, and by all means, especially in a monogamous relationship, you must never, ever lose your sense of humor.
Mm. Beautiful. Just beautiful.
And remember also, you know, the greatest aphrodisiac in the world is love. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. It never stops working.
Mm. Thank you so much, Dr. Dudley Danoff. You have been a pleasure to interview. Just completely fun, creative, funny. Kudos to you and your partner. Your partner's a lucky partner.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Would you put that in writing so I can take that note home?
You could say...
I get home, she gets you, schmuck, take out the garbage.
You could say to your partner, a world-renowned sex expert who talks all over the world on the subject, found you to be fun, exciting, juicy, attractive on the radio show.
Lori, don't stop now, please. Well, actually, I am married to the same woman for 45 years, and the most wonderful woman in the world who puts a smile on my face almost every day.
That's
really
awesome.
Almost every day.
Almost. Well, congratulations to you both.
Thanks.
And hopefully she'll hear this show.
Yeah.
Dudley, how can people get in touch with you?
The website is a good way. The Ultimate Guide to Men's Health.com. I Twitter at Dr. Danoff. There's a lot of stuff on the website, very funny, very informative, very medically accurate, easy to understand.
Great.
Thanks. Yeah.
That's great. Thanks for that information.
Thank you.
We got to go. Everybody, please stay tuned for my next show next time, when I will be interviewing two people who do very sensual visitations. They create experiences for people. They're on the go, they're jet setters, and they come to you and create very sensual and erotic scenes for you. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I want to thank Dr. Dudley Danoff for being my guest today, and I want everybody to come back next time for another episode of Sex and Happiness. This is Lori Handlers thanking you and signing off.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness.
Oh.